welcome all the MSCs present, everybody present, and everybody. I want to spare you the flashes today. And just ensure that we engage in a broad discussion. Can you all come closer to me? It would be nice if all of us were closer. You don't have to be seated at a place where you'd love to walk out and be quiet yet. All of us are going to walk out at the same time.
We can.
What's the devil between Gauteng and Northwest? Yes, good to know. Okay. Come closer, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be scared of the young one. Let's then proceed. Can you settle down? Other bosses, the MECs, they all agree. And so what we shall not do is to go specifically to the performance in terms of the presentations that you have. I hope the national departments are here. Treasury, are you here? Education, are you here? Social development, are you here? Very good. Now, we have convened this meeting because I think we have a concern ourselves about this issue we want to discuss today. I will be just showing you, and just from there, I want us to discuss this thing in broad terms. There are issues that I'm just going to throw to you. Randomly made. There's this document that you don't have, but it is a presentation that was made to the committee by the National Treasury. It's about the performance of the money all the time. What they are saying under education, key priorities for 2008 MTF, the very first one, priority is early childhood development, 0 to 4 years. That's education.
Special development.
You don't have it. I've just told you. You don't have it. I have it. We have it ourselves. You don't have it. Listen to what I'm telling you. In other words, you're not going to change this priority. People seem to want to change the priority now. I'm telling you, the priority.
0 to 4 special development.
Number two, I'm going to social development, social welfare. Again, we're told there, priority number one there, expansion of early childhood development. Now, I'm raising this because also in terms of the budget of the Minister of Finance, this was raised as priority number one this year. Now,
yeah.
The question therefore is, at a practical and funding level, is this our priority in government? It's a matter that I think we must discuss today so that we must resolve, just in broad terms. Fortunately, as an MEC here, Mr. Mkitane we visited some ECD center unannounced early this year. What we saw there was heart rating. Amongst the things we saw in those centers, it was winter when we were there. Some of those centers do not have ceiling. The floors in those centers is cement. We're talking toddlers. We're talking toddlers. Very tiny little kids. At the level of feeding, what we saw was some of them were munching hemp. And when we asked the ladies, they were saying, no, they are able to chew and swallow. And some of them don't have teeth. There's a whole range of things and needs that we picked up in that area that really worries us. Now, generally, there is some understanding in the ECD area. Therefore, the issue for us that we do want to discuss is the money. Because part of the problem that worries me is, whilst there is understanding on ECD, there are these needs in ECD. But secondly, there's another matter that really worries me personally. At a higher level, we have something called school nutrition for primary schools. But there seems to be no nutrition for these little toddlers as a dedicated fund. And so is this a matter of a conscious problem? Because we're failing to feed in a dedicated manner at that level, and so we want to catch up at primary. Of course, we try to catch up at a level when some of them are already standard kids. And so the issue therefore is, do we think we're focusing more and properly on this early childhood development? I think that's the kind of discussion I want us to engage in. So that when we leave here, part of what we must be discussing is the issue funding. The question I had raised in terms of what you must account on. Registered, accredited, ECDs, etc., etc. There's something that's much more critical again. There are rural areas. How are we approaching rural areas in terms of ECD? I'm saying today's discussion really, this is why we're also brought in this national department. So that, you know, one of the things that struck me a day ago, the DG from education was saying to me, and this is what worried me, this is a priority number one in education, but the DG saying, no, we're not funding it. And then said there's something wrong. If the Department of Education is not funding it, it is, and yet it's their priority number one, then clearly there is something wrong. In fact, he was raising this because he did not want to come yet. Not want to send anybody. I said, send your CFO. Because I can't understand, this is priority number one in education, and yet you are not funding. And so clearly, therefore, the discussion is, maybe there's also some disjunction. But I'm not sure whether, I think one of the things we need to be discussing, therefore, is the proper location, therefore. And how do we ensure an integration properly in terms of this thing? Now, unfortunately, MEC, Social Development in the Free State, I have not yet canvassed. I've seen her walk in. I have not canvassed. And I'm happy she did say to me she wanted to be here personally this time around. And I'm happy she's here. And MEC, let me just say that I was saying to your colleagues, I really wanted us to have this broad discussion today. Let's not then go to the issues that you've come to present to us. So I do want us just to talk broadly on ECD, so that in the division of revenue next year, something must be done accordingly in terms of the ECD. And this is why we'd also invite the national department here just to be part in that of the discussion. So that if there are problems at that level, let's kick them up. I do want this discussion to be a 2 to 3 hour discussion. Then we allow you all to go back. So that if in terms of our audit, for instance, of all of these things, we've not been able to do this, how do we do justice to this critical area? Because as I was saying, it is priority number one in education. But I don't seem to see that. That's what I'm saying. So it is priority number one in social development. Are we targeting funding appropriately therefore in those areas? There are I'm not sure whether you call them educators or what, also in the same ECDs, are we incentivizing them appropriately? Are we skilling them appropriately if this is the priority? I hope I've broken the ice, and this is the discussion I want us to have. Frank and straightforward, we must take decisions. The FFC was invited, are they here? Yes, thank you very much, because we do want you to take this serious in the coming division of revenue. Tell me, you want to say something, Mr. Presley? Okay. Education, you want to say something for now?
Thank you, Chair. We agree it's a priority, and it's because we honestly believe that if you don't begin your education very, very early, we're not going to succeed later on. And research across the world is that. So there's no questioning the need to have a priority here at the ECD level. The way that it operates at the moment is that education takes responsibility for the stimulation and development of the children up to grade R. From grade R, we're responsible for everything. But up to grade R, whether the child's at home or in an ECD centre, our responsibility to ensure that...
No, let's not talk about your responsibility now.
Let's
first deal with the broad issues that face the MECs in provinces in terms of independence. And from there, what then becomes our way forward, because as you are saying, it's a priority, let's treat it as a priority.
Okay.
The MECs are here, let them talk to us about all of these problems that they pick up. AOTs are here, let them talk to us about all of these problems. And how do we then resolve this matter? Madam from the Northwest.
Thank you very much. I'm going to speak for probably 20 minutes, and I'm not going to speak ever anything again. I hope so. Chairperson, I think we must welcome the discussion. My name is Nikki Mbango. I'm informed that I'm a member of the Executive Council responsible for social development in the Northwest Province. Now, the first thing that I want to put into perspective is that the consequences of the absence of early childhood development are that government takes its much needed budget and it intervenes to the grade 9, 10, 11, and 12. And that intervention will never yield positive results because the foundation phase is not there. That's why we are missing it first. And until education department agrees with us that it doesn't matter the amount of money that you put into a grade 10, 11, and 12, if that person's development at an early age has never been set, we'll forever put money there and would not see any positive spin-off out of that process. The second issue that government is doing is that it moves from an assumption that there are multitudes of infrastructure for early childhood development on the ground. When we budget, we give money to the content and the funding of children with an assumption that there are infrastructure on the ground, and that infrastructure is in relation to the norms and standards that are required. I've never seen a blueprint of norms and standards for any ECD categorized either to a smaller population, to a larger population, and much bigger needed in bigger populations in the different centers or in the different sectors or areas where we come from. We also agree as government that there are no special centers for children who've got special needs on the ground. It's a sporadic matter. We meet with it as and when we carry our own development programs. And when we meet with them, we either neglect them or we treat them as normal children. We put them into early development centers, which does not necessarily respond to their need of development. As government, I think there are very few centers. I speak for the Northwest Province that we probably have one or two institutions of government that are funded fully. But we don't even have the required equipment and the required tools for us to be able to respond to the special children with special needs. Now, I think that's the first thing that we must do, categorize and have a blueprint of the kind of centers that will respond to the different sizes of population, taking into consideration your migration patterns and your ever evolution of society itself and so on. So that even when you build your integration or even if when you build your new communities, you take into consideration the population of that community, what would constitute early children, and how best do we then afford an opportunity and begin to build infrastructure that relates to get to that. If I may talk about administration at the center, one of the key issues is that there's no standardized operations in relation to administration at the center. I initiate the center, I get money, I'm the teacher, I'm the cleaner, I'm the administrator, I don't keep books, because there's no deliberate effort, and the funding that is given is not addressing, is not assisting to do that. I'm not suggesting, Chair, that we must increase the funding from 9 to 12 or from 12 to 20. But I'm saying we could link the operations of the early childhood development centers with your social grants. There has to be value for money. Somebody will have to do something. If you can ask the multitudes of mothers who are recipients on behalf of beneficiaries, how much do they pay for their early childhood development of their children? I can tell you that they are not paying anything. That's why you can't find those children in those patches. They focus on something else. There has to be some linkage, either through law or through enforcement of some sort, to say, if your child receives 200, 50 rand of that money must be an investment into an early childhood development center. Somehow it will augment the very budget that we are providing to the center, but it must be something that we can high and do as a value add to the development, so that mothers can realize that the money is not meant for them, it's meant for the development of the child at an early age and so on. But also segregate the responsibilities. Standard, there will have to be an administrator in the center who will do procurement, who will look into stock, who will be taught how to do keep books and so on, and then there will have to be people who are teachers, who are taught curriculum and take care of the content and the learning of the children. And then you have people who are going to mend the kitchen, your cleaners, your cookers, and so on and so on, so that the roles can complement each other, and there will be specialized areas and people who know, I'm here and this is what I specialize in, and this is how we can do that work. In that, it will professionalize the operations of these centers, irrespective of where the center is. And it will create a book value that they can utilize to go and source more funding if a need arises. But it will attract your private investors, it will attract your private sector, and all other institutions that can, that may want to enhance the functionality of the center. And maybe the governance part of the center is that there will have to be parents that a body that governs the institution. Somebody will have to account. Either the teacher or the person who's running the center will have to account to a board. The board will have to look into the operations and check and so on and so on, because we know that education takes care of the curriculum development and the training and capacity of the teachers, but the rest of the other things are left to social development. And I think that in the budget that we have, we try at all times to capacitate those that are there without segregating the responsibilities and encouraging them to do that. But there will have to be some norms and standards that are set at an administrative and governance level so that we all move from the same understanding. If we're to talk about, I had the latitude to first go and be deployed in sports, arts and culture. Now, in the laws of the arts and culture department, you have what you call your toy library that are supposed to massively be developed and encouraged alongside the development of libraries. Now, toy libraries are meant to purchase all the developmental toys for children between the age of 0 and 6 years. Because we move from an assumption from the arts and culture department that you have parents who still cannot afford to buy toys that are relevant to the development of the mind of the child. Now we say that early childhood development centers, we must have a linkage. In the Northwest we've got about 14 of them, the toy libraries. Now what we do is that all the centers can go and borrow the toys for a month, utilize them for a particular development cycle, return them to get more toys that respond to another aspect of a psychological development kind of a thing. So you need the toy libraries to be linked. If they are not there, there will have to be an effort made for the purchasing of all the necessary tools in the center, whether it's toys, whether it's mattresses, whether it's play grounds or play areas and so on. And I don't know how we're going to do it, but there will have to be somehow where we link the toy libraries to the development of the centers and the equipment of the centers. Part of that also needs to include diet requirements. A child, we need to be certain that on Monday you eat mabele in the morning, and you have a glass of milk, you eat proper vegetables, you eat late dinner or, you know, late early lunch, I don't know what they call it, or snack or tea in the evening. I've always argued that if a child stays at the center, even if there's no food in the house, if that child eats at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, in the afternoon, he goes on, he sleeps, he comes back to the center, he has breakfast in the morning. Now you address matters of hunger immediately to the children. But the diet requirements must be standardized across areas. We can look into the provinces as in relation to the availability of the budget. But every center must strive to meet the requirements of the diet to say a child must eat this way and that way. You can't eat umosha exen, you have to eat umosha and somehow respond to also the development and the percept, what do they call it in health terms, but they have a term that they utilize. I've spoken about capacity of the teachers, linking with toy libraries, standard and the quality of the education that we find out of these children. I think that it's strengthened our monitoring tools also to say that let's try and have a system, whether monitored through your PCs. Every center must be given a PC, link with whatever, and then they load, there's a software, and they can utilize the software to load information. Then you can have a chart that you clearly look into, and it can also assist you to fund appropriately for the number of days that the children attend schooling. One of the reasons why we are not able to spend money is time. I can tell you it happens in the Northwest, I'm sure it happens in all provinces. You've got registered crèches that are not funded, you've got unregistered crèches. We can't fund them because the requirements and the compliance is heavy, too heavy. And we say that for a crèche to be funded, you need to have your health department must come and inspect, everything must be at the center, there will have to be this, it must be brick and mortar, and so on and so on. And yet denies access to those that are living in the most rural areas who do not have the necessary infrastructure and capacity to carry out these activities. Now half the time we spend our time trying to make them comply, do everything in our power in the first 6 or 7 months of the year to make them comply somehow. Because we can't say we will not fund them because they are not complying with the requirements that we set for ourselves as department. And we'll spend money towards either the third or the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter, because we spend the first 2 quarters utilizing part of the budget to ensure that your creches are able to comply with the requirements that we're talking about. Access into IBAI centers. But you know, lately when I was reading the Act, I trembled in something that later I asked my officials. The law also allows that even if there are 3 or 4 children, or 5 children that I'm taking care of, part of your social security of children, you can still fund those children. But we're not exploring it because the danger is that it can be massified. People can misuse it somehow. A person can get 3 or 4 other children and say, I'm taking care of them, the department must fund me. We'll largely strive to take them into centers that are established, which is also to mingle and share and be comfortable with each other's children so that they grow understanding, respecting each other. My last point. Historical institutions. There are historical institutions in the province that have mastered the art of creating creches, funding them, running them properly, and creating a very good book for them. But they are in historical areas where there's white people who are driving them. I'm not insinuating anything. Lately, when we had a budget, we gave them 10 million. We sat with them. I called all of them. I said, no, let's sit here. Here is 10 million. Assist us in replicating what you are doing in the most rural areas. They took it for 3 months and then they returned it. They say, no, we can't work in black areas. We can't. It's a very difficult process. We don't know how to do it. They are more comfortable. No, transformatory issues, they must come into play. What do you do to transform? And how do you enforce one person who's got the skill, the capacity to go and impart it in the next area and in the village next door? I think those are the things that we need to look into. The other transformatory element that we need to bring in is our own culture of submitting our children to grow up in a center. I'd rather stay with my 3 months old baby, suffer with than taking that child to grow in an early child development center. Because of the attachment, because of the cultural aspects, because of the upbringing and the background. How do we break even and talk to our people to say it is correct for your child to grow in a development center? There's nothing wrong about it. Your child would not choke and die. If it happens, it's part of anything that could happen to any human life anyway. Now, we need to also advocate and teach our young people, teach our mothers to take their children and massively take them into centers because they are guaranteed their development of the mind, but they are also guaranteed that they will have very good cause and very good name. So those are the things that I wanted to talk about. The last point that I need to do. Any childhood development center, for me, it also responds to three critical areas of our work. Poverty, and addressing issues of hunger, the matters of access. But the last point, it must serve as a food security program. It can. I visited all the creches and I said, where do you procure your food? They all go to Pick n Pay checkers. And if you look into one area, you've got more than 20 creches that are funded in a sub-region or in one municipality. Why don't you put in a Butterfield center, a cooperative that will produce milk, supply all the centers? Money must start circulating in the second economy. And I can tell you, in our department, if you say that, it will take 17 years for them to do it. It's just integration. We all put cooperatives and structures and centers that can supply food, basic food. Somebody must have, we must have a farm, I mean, vegetables. Supply all of centers. then you are guaranteed that they will adhere to the diet plan, because somebody supplies them. Every Wednesday they eat this kind of food, you supply them. There's a cooperative of young people, they produce milk, and then they produce cheese downstream, they take that food and they supply the center. The money begins to circulate within this community, and you see development, and you address matters of poverty. But we go to the most established centers, your chain stores, your Checkers, your Pick and Pay, your Ackerman, and so on. You leave areas where you can put together, industrialize your sewing project. Five women come together, put an industrial center. They saw these things. Ezamatras for the children, they do things for the centers and they supply them, they procure from them. Then in that way, they can begin to perfect and have quality work. In that way, we can go forward. But let's not move from an assumption that there's infrastructure. FFC is here, give us money for infrastructure. And let's standardize infrastructure, let's massify, because it's really an insult to our people. We find them balikomi kuku. It can't be right. It can't be right. It cannot be right. Now, somehow, money must be ring-fenced, or a special conditional grant must be put forward. Provinces must get money, massify infrastructure first, look into the migration patterns and all other things that are happening, and then begin to say, we begin to standardize and professionalize our work. I'm not going to speak ever. I spoke for a long time. Thank you.
I hope so. Look. Thanks for that, and let's welcome the brand new MEC of Education, Mr. Masilela in Mpumalanga. We are having a broad discussion MEC today, just in terms of the challenges that you have problems by problems. Thanks for that. So what we then say is that let's just talk the broader issues and see whether we cannot try and ensure that this does work a bit. Because it does seem it's not working. HODs and everybody else will also be allowed to speak, because you also have and on some of these matters. So that we've got to find a way of finally, as we have said, the FFC must also assist us to say, how do we then deal? Because it is the FFC that has said, this thing was a conditional grant at some stage. They said, no, it must get into the equitable share. So, would we want to relook at that and say, no, it's really not assisting as is? So, if it was a conditional grant, properly constructed, it might then be able to be properly focused. Any other comment? Mr. Mkita? Okay, Madam.
Good morning, everybody. I'm MEC Social Development. The last time I was here, I was still representing the Free State in Education. But from August 2007, I was then moved over to the Department of Social Development in the Free State. So I'm going to try and address what the committee has requested, that we should be able to provide information on as a Free State. So my voice is too big. I must try to put it a little bit far away. Research in South Africa and internationally indicates that the early years of child are critical for development. From birth to school going age, it is a period of rapid physical, mental, emotional, social, and normal growth and development. And I would like also to say what our Minister for Social Development in the country has also indicated whenever he's talking about early childhood development in South Africa. I'm really going to quote him before I dwell into matters which have been requested to say in relation to early childhood development in the Free State. Minister Zola Skweyiya once said, in the human life cycle, the early childhood phase is considered the most important phase for every human being. Giving children the best start in life means ensuring that good health, proper nutrition, and early learning takes place. That was what Minister Zola Skweyiya once said. to South Africans. The Free State Department of Social Development concurs with this position and has also provided early childhood development as a developmental and a poverty alleviation program. The following information is exactly going to prove that, which we are now presenting to the Finance Committee of Parliament in the MCOP. I'll start first and foremost with the profile of child poverty in the Free State. That there are currently an approximately 300,233 children in the Free State, of which approximately 162,124 are living in poverty. I'm talking between 0 to 5, because that was the request which I was requested to present before the committee. Currently, 191,630 children between 0 to 5 years are benefiting from the child support grant. There are approximately in the Free State 82,000 children cared for in ECD centers in the province. And out of this number of 82,000, 36,256 children in 683 ECD centers are receiving financial support from the Department of Social Development. The total funds involved are 85.6 million for 2008 and 2009. And the department has increased this because we are seeing this as one of the key priorities in the province from 39.3 million, which was provided in the financial year 2007 and 2008. The Free State Department of Social Development has also embarked on a massification campaign on early childhood development program, which we are aiming to reach more children to address poverty in the Free State. Because if you see the Free State, we are not an urban province, we are highly rural. I'm sure you know it as you come from that particular province, including some of the members who visited the province during the MCOP session last year. We are highly rural. Regarding the number of ECD centers, the number of children benefiting from ECD programs, the number of children funded in the province, including training. I think these are some of the matters which are really taking very seriously. If you look at our budget, which we are currently having of 536 million in the province, and 85 already goes to ECD in the province. I must indicate, the Chair, that in 2006 and 2007, we're funding about 28,256. And when I joined the department, I took a particular position, seeing that ECD is highly critical and important, that we should be able to have a norm that every financial year, we must be able to increase the number of ECD which are funded by government. Hence, in November 2007 and 2008, we decided to increase the number of funded ECD centers in the Free State by 4,000 children. And then this year, April 2008 and 2009, we once more again increased by 4,000. It is now enough. Should we be able to get more money, we are planning even to go beyond the 4,000 so that we are able to reach the target we have set for ourselves in the province, that by 2010, 100,000 children must be in ECD centers. And majority of them should be able to get support from government, because we know we are dealing with poverty-stricken communities in the Free State. Some of the children, like my colleague in Northwest was indicating, are only eating once a day. Some of them are not even able really to put food on the table. That is why we are trying to move with the speed to make sure that we support as many children as possible. We even increased our budget for 5.20 per child per day to 9 rand, because that is the norm National has already presented to us as the various provinces, as to how should we be able to fund children in the Free State. But also to support the challenges of poverty in the province, we are also working in collaboration with the South African Social Security Agency and also Home Affairs to ensure that as many children in the province as possible do possess birth certificate and are able to access a child support grant. That is why we are now running, as a cluster, various intervention programs in the province, and not just to say poverty must be resolved and be addressed in as far as children are in ECD, but we are also bringing other stakeholders on board to say how best are we going to be able to solve some of the problems our children are facing in the province. As Social Development Department, we have also embarked on a massification campaign on our ECD services, the aim of which is to reach more children to address poverty. Regarding the number of centers, I've already passed that one. As regards the number of registered ECD centers, currently we have, there is a number of 1,348 ECD centers and programs in the Free State. Of these, 274 are accommodated in shacks, and 1,074 are accommodated in brick buildings in the province. A rapid assessment indicated that 71% of these structures are good or acceptable, but other 29% of structures need urgent attention. The above ECD centers have 3,241 practitioners or caregivers. And then as regards the next question which was presented to us as regards the number of accredited, I've already indicated that we have 1,348 centers in the province. In relation to funding and whether funding reaches intended beneficiaries, I will quickly say yes, Chairperson. Funding is reaching the required beneficiaries in the province. Because the Free State Department of Social Development currently funds ECD centers at a rate of 9 rand, starting from 2008 and 2009 per working day. Who qualifies in terms of a means test, which is always carried in all our ECD centers in the Free State? And I must indicate, Chair, that the problem Northwest is having, we are fortunately not having it, because already in the first quarter of this financial year, we're able really to reach the target of 25%. And fortunately, as I'm talking to you, we are already at 35%, because I'm continuously checking whether the children who are in those poverty-stricken areas are really getting what they are supposed to be getting, as it is upon my responsibility as a political head, as I talk to communities, to make sure that as we are saying we are addressing poverty in the Free State, we are able really to make sure that the children and centers receive money timelessly. And out of the overall allocation, we have even come up with a plan, because majority of our practitioners in the Free State were looking after children between 7:30 and 5 o'clock, 5 days a week. But some of them, because some of the areas are highly poverty striking, they were really without even a cent at the end of the month. Hence, we took a particular position from the beginning of April 2008 and 9, that we spend 25% of that money on admin, handling or even some of the challenges in relation to operations. And 21% will be able to augment salaries of practitioners in the province. And we even put a standard to say the starting salary or a subsidy on salaries of practitioners will be giving them 700 rand per practitioner in the province. And 59% of the budget goes to food. And we have even been able to come up with some sort of standardized menu as regards our ECD centers in the province, which are currently piloting in some of the districts in the province, so that we make sure that children are not going to eat bread and tea every day. We have, jointly with the Department of Health, come up with a particular position to say Monday, this is the type of menu which must be given to our ECD centers up to Friday, so that at least there is a variety of food which is going to be given to children. Because we're faced with a challenge that some of the creches were giving children Monday to Friday soup and porridge, which we couldn't accept. And the current transfer budget of ECD funding amounts, as I indicated, to 85.8 million, which enables the Free State Department of Social Development to support the 683 ECD centers with 36,256 children. This is only 22.4% of the population we are reaching, which we are saying it is the biggest challenge. Because the resolution has even been taken by the party which is currently leading government, that we must be able to prioritize children in our 9 provinces, which I think Treasury and FSC will be able to assist us. Because the budget which we are currently getting and social development, I think care is the biggest challenge. Because we are dealing with the vulnerable people of our provinces. And if we are not going to be given money equal to other social services department, we are not really going to be able to reach our goal as a social development department in the country. Funds are also sent electronically directly into ECD centers, bank accounts in the Free State, on a monthly basis, because we must be able to reconcile whether money has been used for what it is meant for before we can even transfer the next allocation to our centers in the Free State. As on 21st August 2008, the department has already, as I indicated, transferred 35% of the budget which we are supposed to be transferring. Because if we are not meeting the requirements of transfer amounts, we are not sending it until we go straight to those ECD and resolve some of the challenges they are experiencing. Because we don't want to send government money and then it is not going to be spent for what it is meant for. Because they must reconcile and we must satisfy ourselves that money has really been used for what it is meant for that particular month. Many ECD centers are not funded for children. As I indicated, that we have 1,348, meaning that the 665 centers are currently not funded in the Free State, which is a challenge. Because continuously they want to know as to when are we really, as government, going to be in the position to fund them, for them to be able to bring hope. But fortunately, which is a different situation also from Northwest, those children who are getting child support grants, parents are paying 50 rand so that they can cater for nutrition, for salaries of teachers, and also for other requirements of the crèche. Although not everybody is really supporting us as far as that particular program is concerned. That is why we have gone out together with the management committees of ECD centers to brief and engage our communities that they needed to pay for services. Because the child support grant is not their money. It is the money for the development and survival of children. So some of the people are paying. We are not getting 100% payment in some of the crèches, but at least majority of Free Staters are really making sure that teachers at least must be able to get something and children must be able to eat. And we have also engaged the private sector that they should also be able to assist us in those particular ECD centers where government has not as yet are subsidizing them. So private sector is also playing a very critical role to address some of the equipment which must give to crèches in the Free State. The report is readily available if members want really to come and certify themselves about the information I'm also giving. That APSA is assisting us to provide mattresses. Some of the private organizations, business, are also providing chairs and tables to crèches. Some are providing toys. Some are also assisting us to provide food, especially to those crèches which are not currently subsidized by government in the province. That we do have a lot of challenges, which I'm really just going to highlight, and I'll not deliberate a lot around them, because it is almost the same challenges as my colleague from the Northwest has indicated. The budget is highly inadequate for us to be able to reach out to all the children in the Free State. The second one is the challenges around the number of ECDs who are running ECD programs, but who are currently not having facilities readily available in the province, because we don't have money for infrastructure like education and health, which is a challenge, because majority of our children are living in very serious conditions in the province. And also the building of ECD services to individually calculated based on an application of funding. Qualifying means test is also a challenge, and the approved formula mentioned in paragraph 4.1, which I've already presented. The funding amount of the being approved by the HOD and the MEC is captured in a memorandum of agreement, which is signed by the organization and the Department of Social Development. But sometimes the memorandum of understanding as regards the performance stipulates that the subsidy amount may be utilized, as I've already indicated, 25%, 21%, and 59%. But sometimes it does happen that some of our ECD centers are not using money for what we are trying really to say they must be able to use it. Because if they see that they are really making a saving, some of them will be going against the memorandum of agreement, where they will be using money for facilities instead of for providing proper feeding for our children in the Free State. That is also another challenge which we are currently addressing as the Department of Social Development. And the other one, Chair, which I thought I must be able to present, is that the majority of children, especially in some of the areas, which is also areas which are terribly affected by children who drop out at school at an early stage, are not attending ECD, which is a challenge in our province in the Gariep district. That majority of the children are not there. That is why we are also trying to intensify the campaign around registration drive that children are supposed to be in ECD. I've already covered the one of physical infrastructure. I'm not going to repeat it to the members. And as I conclude, the Chairperson, I think Treasury is here together with the Department of Social Development and FSC. People are looking upon us because we always say if we are serious as a country in building our own areas, we should be able to start from there to showcase that we are serious, because it will make life more easier to the people whom we are currently representing in our various provinces if we start with the children. And there is a good collaboration, because my colleague is immediately going to follow me. There is good collaboration between education and ETDP CETA in relation to training, because we are doing it jointly, and it is also a transfer matter. It is not only a social development matter, ECD in the Free State. And we are also currently training, because we thought it is important. If we are prioritizing ECD, we must also capacitate ECD practitioners in the province. So we are doing it jointly. I'm more concerned about level 1. And MEC education is more concerned about level 4 and 5, because we are doing it in a very collaborative manner. In the last financial year, we trained 150, which is currently continuing, because it is a training of 18 months. And this year we'll be training 280 practitioners in the Free State. So as I conclude, Chair, I hope all those relevant stakeholders are listening attentively so that we are able to address challenges which are facing our children in the Free State in relation to early childhood development. Thank you.
In health and education, for instance, currently in the country, it will be problematic. It's causing overspending. And that is something called OFD. Now, I'm not sure whether there's OFD at ECD. It has to do with retention and incentivizing people to be able to do the right thing, so that as they proceed in doing their work, they don't see opportunities of saving and redirecting money to other things. So clearly, as we think this thing through, we must look at all the kinds of issues. Mr. Sobon, you wanted to say something before the meeting?
Yes, sir. Now, sir, I just wanted to say, perhaps, from the two inputs, it's clear that provinces are doing something. Maybe sooner or later we're going to have a problem of timing very soon. Maybe what we need to look at in order for us to have at least discussions that will assist us if people could zoom into challenges. We know that everyone is doing something, which is appreciated. Let's just get into the challenges that we think that should be addressed, and then I think that that way our discussion then at least will assist us.
Mr. Mgitla, before that, Madam Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. What I've been hearing today is music to my ears. This is something that I've always been so passionate about, as you know, ECD, training, education, reading, literacy. Those are all the things that really matter. So I'm delighted to think that there is going to be more money available for this sort of thing. But I just want to point out that there are enormous problems with red tape within departments, within the provinces. And this is obviously not the place to deal with all the details. But there are tremendous profits there. It's a red tape. There are many people who are wanting to assist. There are many church groups, there are many other people, NGOs, whatever, who are assisting, but they struggle to get access to the funding. Somehow the information isn't available, or sometimes there's just a blockage and you can't
get to that discussion.
So those are the things we really need to hone in on.
Don't worry, we'll come back to that. Mr. Mgitla.
No, Chairperson, let me just first say that I will not be in a position to interface with the discussions in the manner in which my colleagues have actually done, because from the point of view of the department, we thought it plainly come into account about, in fact, how we are progressing on what we have been given.
So this is why you are kind of ambushed by the chairperson this time.
No, but I would want to make some small contribution.
Okay.
Yeah, the small contribution which I would want to say, chairperson, is that indeed at the level at which, in fact, the two colleagues have actually conceptualized the challenges which are faced within the ECD program, I would want to agree. In total, you know, the issues of facilities, the issues of feeding, the issues of training with regard to the people who are supposed to look after the children or caregivers, whatever you call them, I think I want to concur with the challenges which they are raising. But one other challenge for me is that how, as a Department of Education, are we able to take the baton from social development? Social development begins 0 to 4. Are we ready to take the baton as a Department of Education when we move over, in fact, to grade R? What are the mechanisms and communication structures which we have in place that would say that there is so much infrastructure that we have to create as education in order to care for this expansion which you are talking about of ECD? And in view of what you've also raised, Chairperson, the issue of your discussion, which might not be for record, have we budgeted sufficient as education for ECD? As we say, it is in fact our priority. And if there is no budget around that, it means also that we cannot be in a position to be able to capture what comes out of the programs of social development. And the one thing which I must also record is that there is a big struggle in the province around this particular matter, particularly in view of the fact that at the level of grade R, we don't have sufficient infrastructure as education to be able to accommodate those kids. Sometimes they are just going to fall through the crack as they come from social development. So something must be done to structure this thing properly. But also the issues of the budget must be looked into. But if there is any detailed information in view of the fact that we had not structured our input according to what was expected. We have people who work in ECD in the department who are here. If you allow, they can actually make an input about some of the things which they think have not been captured.
No, MEC, don't worry about that. Look, that is all captured, as I said earlier. But I just decided to change the discussion of labor rights because I thought we needed a broader discussion that then says what do we do finally. Well, I do want us to come back to that, as Mr. Sokoto was saying. So that if we want to say, FFC, can you go back and then look at a way in which we must look maybe at a condition after ECT. There's also an issue that is coming of infrastructure. We've got the IGP. And sometimes your provinces get a little bit of the IGP because the framework is targeting health, education, roads, and agriculture. And so social development would then depend on handouts, if you like, in terms of the IGP now. Well, if they would give you from the IGP, they kind of violate the law. So would you want then to go to the Division of Revenue Act and say, for purposes of infrastructure and social development, can we also include in the IGP now for the social development? We are talking big issues of maintenance and maintenance budget. And so, again, you need to maintain this ECD center. How do we deal with that kind of a budget issue there? Right, let's take the MEC, Bumalanga.
No, thanks, and apology for arriving late. The plane got delayed, and that's why we arrived late. The fact is to indicate that, well, as you're saying, I'm very new, but not extraordinary. I'm almost 3 months now responsible for two departments, Department of Health and the Department of Social Development. They was just last week created the two departments. Earlier on it was one department, the Department of Health and Social Services. But now we have two departments, Department of Health and the Department of Social Development. And also to indicate that I'm Masamela. Chair, we want to indicate that we can just focus on the challenges as you've directed. But just to indicate that the province, for the first time, the Executive Council, in the context of the APEX priorities as made by the President, the State of the Nation address, was in a position to adopt an integrated early child development strategy framework in the province. And that's the one that we are going to be using going forward in dealing with all the challenges of early child development, so that there is an integrated approach from ourselves, the social development, and the Department of Education. And we're driving this process as a cluster, not just as individual departments. The challenges that we are having as a province, first and foremost, is the challenges of lack of a dedicated unit in the department that deals with any child development. It's a matter that we have identified as a weakness, and we are working around the clock to address it. The challenge that we had was that the department since 2003 was not reviewed in terms of the organizational structure, and therefore it was still based on the old model and operating on the old system. Regardless of the challenges and the new approaches. So
we have just 2 weeks ago finalized a new organizational structure, which then creates a unit that will be responsible for the early childhood development. And we have approached the provincial executive for additional funding so that we're in a position to create these units to make sure that there is proper monitoring systems in place to make sure that it's an effective service delivery in that aspect. The other challenge is the scarcity or the shortage of social workers in the profession. It's a very scarce skill. And therefore, we don't have sufficient social workers in the province. Currently, the ratio is 1:8,000, which is a huge problem. So, as you know, to produce one social worker is a long term plan, it's 4 years. So, we're addressing that matter by giving more bursaries and trying to get the children from the rural areas to participate in that program, so that we're in a position to massify the early childhood development. The other issue that we're intervening, we are now currently training social auxiliary workers, so that we've got more social auxiliary workers who will then assist in place of why we're still trying to get more social workers in the process. The other challenge that we have is the lack of a correct provincial data. There is no database now that we are operating with. And it's a matter that we are working around the clock to address it, because now whatsoever figures that we can give will not be an accurate figure. So we don't have how many children are there between 0 and 4 years old. We can't definitely give you an answer on that. So we're busy working around the clock to consolidate that data and have in data that we're going to update on an annual basis, so that we have an accurate data that then allow us to have a proper plan going forward. So that's one challenge that we are having. But we do know how many city centers are there. But we only know those that are registered as well, in terms of the data. Those that are not registered, because they are mainly that are operating outside being accredited or registered, and therefore they are operating on their own somewhere, in the corners, in the rural areas, in the townships, and all those areas, without proper identification. So we're embarking on a program to also deal with that particular challenge as well. The other challenge is the low salary that is given to ECG practitioners, because most of them are dependent on the school fees that are paid by children. And in the rural areas, as you know, the majority of the people in the rural areas are employed, poor, and therefore they can't afford, some of them, to pay even that school fees in those ECGs. Therefore, it means some months will pass by without even the ECD practitioners having received any stipend or salary as a result of that. So those are some of the challenges. What we're proposing going forward is that we have to split the amount that we're giving, 50% to the children, and then 25% goes, or 30% whatsoever goes to salary, and then administration and all those, so that at least we are sure of that this is a salary that will be provided. But the challenge is that the budget that is allocated currently is insignificant to make any serious impact into the whole exercise. I'm not sure that I was frightened when I saw the Free State, the number of ECDs that they're funding, compared to what we are funding in Mpumalanga, and looking at the population of 3.6 million, it is the problem. It's far lower than what Free State is providing. And in terms of the budget that Free State is providing,
is higher than the budget that we're providing. So it indicates that there are even no national norms and standards. Provinces decide on the way they want to approach it and do it, because it's an equitable share thing. And therefore, it depends on what's given to you, how do you apply that budget according to what you think is best and prioritize and priority. Well, here are some of the challenges. The other challenge is the question of training of these ECT practitioners. There is no consistent plan and program and to train them. We are mainly dependent on education, which education as well has got their own challenges as well. And therefore, that sometimes creates a situation where you find some centers being managed by ECD practitioners who are not properly trained. And therefore, the product that you expect there will not be the same as the product where you've got ECT centers that are managed by highly trained and qualified ECT practitioners. The last challenge, it's lack of it, but which has got to do with the earlier letter that I've read about the shortages. Staff, the proper monitoring system due to shortages of personnel. We don't have a proper monitoring system, and therefore we can't 100% say the money that we are providing to these ECT centers is effectively making a serious impact into these children that we are providing the money, because we are incapacitated in terms of effective monitoring. We do have a quarterly system that we are putting in place, but I don't think it's effective in a manner that we can proudly say the money is benefiting what is intended. I will then share with your permission then maybe request that the SG for education does add things that mean so, because we are operating as an integrated cluster, and with that indicated as the early childhood development integrated strategy that we've developed as a province together. And the education in the province is the one that is leading the ECT.
Thank you, sir. Just three issues that you think the MEC has covered broadly, the number of challenges that we've almost identified in the province is the provisioning of ECD. The first one, I should think, is the issue of the policy gap. We were still operating on an interim ECD policy that was conceptualized in 1996, and it was meant to troubleshoot, you know, specific areas in the provisioning of ECD. The second still as the child of the system, you know, as it were. That will relate to two issues, the scope and scale of our definition of what constitutes ECD. And currently, as we talk, you know, you can see the social development city, you know, the education city. I have my little baby from 0 to 4. I have my little baby from 5 to 7, you know. Mm-hmm. And the big challenge is, what is our conceptual view and understanding of what constitutes ECD? If it's not to 9, what does that mean, you know? The second issue around the policy gap issues is the issue of norms and standards for provisioning, and which is a very, very big issue that we want to deal with, including issues of teacher qualification. You know, and right now, I should think we have heavy views about what is qualified as an ECD, you know, a practitioner, to post-provisioning norms for this center. And I think provinces are all doing their different kinds of provisioning standards. Infrastructure, LTSM, including, you know, space and land allocation in these centers. The big challenge, I should think, is the second area that we've identified in the province, providing a sectoral approach to ECD and a sectoral strategy to provisioning of early childhood development services in the province. Hence the design of an integrated ECD strategy. be that as it may, there's quite a few issues that have come up. Firstly, is the issue of the institutional frame. How do we express that intersectoral collaboration? And this is what we're working towards. We might be evoking some old notions of ECD Institute and so on and so on, but the key issue is, can we then agree? Probably if it's nationally driven, the better. You know, have a national framework, you know, for understanding, you know, provisioning of ECDs. Thirdly, the issue of raising chair of funding and whether grant is the correct leverage mechanism to deal with issues of funding. And somehow it does confirm that it's the best strategic way to deal with in order to leverage the desired changes and strategy alignment at that level. So to add to what MC was saying, I just wanted to just fill the gaps on those three broad areas as the basis for undertaking a change and dealing with it. And also in the light of the national call to scale up provisioning of education to children, you know, below 7.
Nimbo, do you have any different challenges? How did you have any different challenges? I have not been great.
I think my name is Konya Boyens. I'm the acting head of department for culture and social development. Challenges very much similar to the challenges raised by the respective MECs. But if you'll allow me just to add a few points to that. We've been experiencing a lot of mushrooming of unregistered, if you can so-called backyard pressures within our very poor community. And I think one of the efforts that we are really trying to put in place is to identify these so-called pressures, cluster them together, and try to formalize them in a registered type of a facility. Now, due to the poverty in the area, these informal pressures obviously provide some kind of income to the person who is running this pressure. And therefore, there's quite a lot of resistance from that angle to become part of a formal structure. Yet, at the same time, it also becomes very difficult to close down those structures, because where do those children then go if they are not going to go to those structures during the course of the day? The colleagues have raised the problem that we are experiencing in the training and the setting up of governance structures, management committees within the ECD. I think it's something that we're really going to have to look at across the board. And just as an indication, in Gauteng we have set up specific monitoring and evaluation teams in our region. But the need out there is just so vast that we can only begin maybe monitoring existing registered facilities, and that we find it very difficult to also deal with your community-based facilities that we want to bring in. And everybody has raised the question or the problem that the budget merely does not meet the need out there in the community. Now, you'll find that one of the results of this is that we register ECD facility for a specific number of children. However, there's non-compliance to that. So you find that you might register the facility for 50 children, but when you go and you visit the facility, you find that there might be 70 children. And then again, you know, a large portion of our caregivers are really not professionally trained, and therefore not really able to stimulate the children and prepare them for school going. This issue has been raised, but it's really causing, I think, also a problem for us in trying to assist some of the more informal ECDs to become at the level where they can be registered, and these are the municipal bylaws, which are not standardized. It's not all municipalities, but it's actually the majority of municipalities. We experience a lot of difficulty in getting health certificates. Now, what we are doing at a department is to identify these EPD facilities that are informal and conditionally register them. And this is where we are having problems with the health certificate, because they don't necessarily fully comply. But if they're not registered in some sense, which we basically then say is conditional registration, you're not able to fund them. So it's like a chicken and the egg situation. If you don't give money, then they're definitely not going to develop. So we are conditionally registering some of our ECDs, or quite a number of the community-based ECDs. We then fund them and we develop them, and after a while, hopefully, they will be able to qualify for full registration. But keeping in mind that some of this funding also has to go for infrastructure development, because, as you know, with the health certificates from the municipalities, there need to be certain kitchen facilities, bathroom facilities, and all those stuff. The other challenges are very much the same. I'm not going to repeat. I just want to mention that as the Gauteng government, the basis for us as the social development department is derived from the Gauteng social development strategy, which was launched not long ago. And one of the key levers of the strategy is the intersectoral and interdepartmental integration of services to children. We have recently capacitated a unit in our department to coordinate that across the various housing departments. And attached to that also is the Bonaf PLA program, which basically looks at, and I think this is very important for us, looking at how we are going to package services, because services do exist. It's just a matter of how we package the services to ensure that the child, the family, gets the optimal in terms of the very services that we deliver as a government. Also, in Gauteng, we have what we call the 20 prioritized townships project, where we have identified 20 townships, which are your more older townships, in need of infrastructure investment. And as a department, we've also started participating in that program. I can indicate to you that in this financial year, we have earmarked within our baseline allocation 174 million rand for constructing infrastructure in these townships. And that also includes ECD facilities. So over the NTF period, we will construct in each of these 20 areas, we will construct an ECD facility in, hopefully in some of the areas, more than one of these facilities. Now, it's a prototype facility. The question has been raised about we don't necessarily have norms and standards, but we have to some degree developed norms and standards for these ECD facilities to be constructed. It's a prototype for 120 children. We intend to give proper start-up, your toy libraries, and so on and so on. So hopefully some of these facilities, in fact, have already been finalized. Also very important is that it is aligned to our orphans and vulnerable children program, because some of the little children who go to ECD have brothers and sisters who go to school, and after that, they all go back to a child-headed household. So ensuring that integration of the child-headed family takes place also after the ECD facility, later into the afternoon, and that the children are being prepared for going home in the evening. Chairperson, I maybe just very, very broadly saying that as a department, we do set annual targets for new, we're trying to fast-track this process as well, for new registered and funded ECDs. For this year, we've set the target for 210 to fund new ECDs, register and fund. Our first quarterly target was 68. Thus far, we've already registered 192, of which the majority are being funded. Some are in the process of being funded. So our total is 528 facilities with 36,400 children. Maybe I can also note that we are funding at 11 rand per child per day. And in many instances, we also give a start-up package to these new facilities based on their needs of approximately 50,000 rand. Our overall budget for the 8-9 financial year for ECD is 49.6 million.
Okay.
I think I think those are the main inputs from our side.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I don't want to go over what previous speakers have already raised because there are similar challenges. Safe to raise basically over and above what they've raised, which for me are critical issues that we would need to deal with. It's coordination issues, and I'm sure you've heard that it's social development, it's education, it's local government, and there's health, by the way, as well. It's in the areas that you're working on. So we need to deal with coordination. We need to deal with integration. We need to deal with the issues of quality, and also we need to deal with the issues of capacity. The funding colleagues have raised, but the important aspect is also the support care, the nutrition aspect of those. And I think critically for me is to clarify and possibly strengthen the issue of accountability vis-a-vis stewardship. It's definitely my view, and quite seriously so, that despite the fact that government may take accountability, it has a stewardship role to provide a conducive atmosphere for the operators of the early childhood development care facilities, whether it's private sector or parastatal, as we have in the country. And I think it's critical that we do this. Gauteng provincial government has established the early childhood development center to deal with issues of coordination and integration. Critical targets for the end of this financial year is professionalization of the ECD practitioner from basically zero to all levels of grade R. It's the issue of looking at the norms and standards. We're saying they do not exist in the manner in which we want, but I think Gauteng provincial government has basically said by the end of March next year, we should have been helping as a guideline. And the third issue is basically the issue of curriculum development. That is the responsibility of education to make sure that it provides material development and creates curriculum standards as well as norms for the rest of the system. And that's basically what's actually happening. So the Early Childhood Development Institute coordinates and attempts to integrate all departments of government as well as all spheres of government, including private sector as well as community-based run centers. So we're beginning to see inroads in terms of that. It will be launched towards the end of next month. So those are the additions here that I thought I should just make. Thank you.
Do you have different challenges?
If I can just add one challenge, but just give me, if I may just make a few introductory comments. And if we'd have had time, we would have presented to you showing that we've increased the number of ECDs that we're funding, and we're also funding at 12 rand per child per day. So we're at the maximum. And the agreement within the sector is that for next year we will not increase the amount, but we'll increase the spread. I've also included...
Let me just ask you a question. Are you providing for a Makinge?
What's your person? We are.
You know the place I'm talking about, a Makinge?
Elbot. Okay, in the
we were there ourselves as a committee. Don't even play.
Because
since we were there with some of your colleagues, nobody has gone back there. I have reports, in fact they're phoning me now, and look, people have come here and made all promises. And he's not in there. Don't even know that's very nice. Because he's in there ourselves. But
I was going to say, Chair, that within that area, I'm not sure which exactly place you might be referring to. We might be funding an ECD alongside that Lali, but I wouldn't know exactly which one. If you give me the details afterwards.
No, too many, you don't even have a standard. And by the way, in that place, it's a good deal that you're here. You know, part of what we're talking about here is the role of the community. And the community in that village has built a school sometime back. And you then came and said you are going to demolish the school. No, because you're saying it's unsafe, etc., etc. But then you're not providing an alternative. And my colleague yesterday was speaking passionately about this thing, Mr. Sokol. That in fact it's not even a school. But then I think what we shall do after this meeting, we will give you details of that specific place. Because we do want you to go back to that place. We were addressing the whole community. Proceed then.
Thank you.
Raising this liberty because this is a rural area.
Yeah.
And again, as Jeremy Sifted was saying of social development, Eastern Cape is vast, rural. And clearly, you are talking urban area. I can vouch for that. Proceed.
Thank you. Let's start again because I didn't buy the call. Although I'm the head of social development, I happen to be a refugee from teaching, but I can't talk on behalf of the school. I do have a special passion for ECD. That was my training and my background. But I do want to say that, Jefferson, in terms of the maps we've shown, the majority of the ECDs that we are funding are in rural areas. But the problem, of course, as you know, the Eastern Cape is vastly rural, and there are many areas that we are not getting to. That is very clear. We will be the first to acknowledge that. The point I was making is that this year and last year, we attempted to strive a balance between catching up in terms of the amount we fund and also increasing the spread. And again, in the presentation, we have indicated that. Next year, given the budget that we've set aside in the MTF allocation, the idea is not to increase the amount we fund.
Talk about the expansion. What are the challenges?
Okay, specifically, I think the challenges here, the MECs have touched on almost all of them. I just want to enhance in 3 points. In terms of our poverty eradication model, we believe that ECD hasn't only got a role to play in alleviating poverty, which is very critical in terms of what it's doing, but importantly, it can also break the cycle of intergenerational poverty. And that's very critical because if the quality of the educational experience is correct, it helps us to break this terrible cycle of intergenerational poverty. I think the other challenge has been highlighted around the quality of what goes on. And there's a lot of models out there that people are using. There's a lot of NGOs doing very, very good work. As much as you went to Emakungwani, if you went to Kala, you would see the Isibindi model. That is, I mean, it's mind-boggling in the fact that they've got an NGO doing work where the merry-go-round is linked to a water pump. And as the children play, they're pumping water up to the community garden, which the parents have got next door. So as a sector, we can build on some of these very good models if we open to that. The other challenge, Chairperson, and I'm not going to repeat all the things that I would like to have said here, but I think we need to have a common consensus on also the role of local government. In the Eastern Cape, we have signed a service level agreement between education and social development to facilitate the roles and functions of each. But the role of local government, I'm not sure we all have the same understanding of what they should be doing. So I would put that as one of the challenges as well. In course.
Thanks, Chair. Let's start with Emakungwani. I think really we need to understand that with the total number of... But I just want to say clearly that really with the total number of dilapidated schools in the Eastern Cape, it is very easy for everybody to pick up one school. And at least I think I want to say clearly that...
Hang on.
Yeah.
Switch off your mind. You know, yesterday we saw a picture. Mind you, they've dedicated funding for additional schools, math schools, for information. you did not know. 2.7 billion. Now, we're not discussing that for now, but I'm saying to you, what struck us yesterday, for instance, is the fact that money is available. Provinces have targeted little schools. Your own province has targeted only 75. No, don't respond to that. I'm not I'm just showing you. But number two, I think the Free State has targeted about 4 or 5. Mbumalanga about 11, something. I'm saying that money for that purpose. And people are not using the money already. Yet, when the decision was taken was to say, you want to eradicate all of this in the MTF. Already as we speak, so few schools have been identified. I'm saying, let's really not go that direction. Because it's a direction that also worries us. Well, we were saying that money must be taken away from all of those underperformers. Throw it to those who need it now. The matter then that we shall have to come back to. We will be discussing with the Department of Education in the next week going forward. Because the money already. It was additional funding on top of the available funding. And the National Department wanted that to be a conditional grant and was persuaded. And here you are now, not moving forward. Let's talk your work at ECD. Mr. Sogon is going to give you the details of the Makinga decision.
Thank you, Chair. We've targeted 471 structures, and we'll talk about that on Tuesday. Definitely so. Yeah. Now let's come back to ECD. Yes. In terms of the budget allocation, like it is a challenge for everybody. I think I want to say clearly that really Eastern Cape is the one that has almost doubled the budget for last year. And we've done that consciously because we're looking at the fact that we're integrating the ECD within the learner attainment strategy. One thing that we've understood in terms of the performance of the system over the years in terms of grade 12 is that we cannot improve grade 12 without focusing on ECD. That's why we've taken that move. That is one element that in actual fact we are trying to think outside the box in terms of ensuring that we're addressing some of these challenges. The other one was obviously massification, the training of these ECD practitioners. That is one other area. But again, it's a big challenge because we're having a number of these community-based kinds of centers, and I think everybody has highlighted that. In terms of infrastructure, I do want to accept that really indeed we're focusing more on the grade R classes, and that is the big challenge because I think everybody has highlighted that. The challenge in that is that you are more at the receiving end, and in actual fact, the damage has already been done in terms of 0 to 4, and that needs to be addressed. And obviously, I don't have solutions in as far as the budgetary implications because we're stretching ourselves in terms of the grade R, and at least in that arena, we're doing well because in this year alone, we're touching 100 grade R centers. But again, it's a challenge for us because we're not sort of denting the pre-grade other kinds of infrastructure challenges. Well, the issue of partnership and leveraging what is available is one other way of dealing with the limited resources. As my colleague here, Denver, has said, that we definitely want to work together, and whatever minimal resources that are available, then we begin to reap more in terms of the returns, utilizing those resources. And again, like other provinces, I think that is more from a cluster approach. The linkages with the curriculum delivery is one other area that for us is quite a challenge. And I think at the end that's what we're trying to address to see that the kind of the curriculum that is emerging for the pre-grade are should in the long term be much more really addressing the issues of readiness for the formal schooling. So of course those are just the few things that I wanted to
Are your challenges similar? Any other thing you want to add?
Yeah, Chairperson, I don't see my counterpart. By the way, I'm Henry, also acting HOD of Education in the Northern Cape province. I don't see my counterpart from the Social Service Department, but basically in terms of what we have prepared from our side, and we're also working in an integrated fashion in the province, is if I look at my challenges as I was about to present, I've ticked off quite a few as it was mentioned. I think one also that I need to add is in terms of our province and the issue of an exit strategy for three great art practitioners that are on the EPWP qualification training project. Because we think there's a need to provide mechanisms to avoid the practitioners from leaving the sector for greening pastures. That's basically what I would add at this stage.
Right. Let's go. You can't have challenges yourself. You're a rich province.
Chairperson, for that reason, I'm not going to mention our budget. I want to, though, mention three challenges in addition. I think that if we are going to win the battle to get access to ECD provision, we do have to shift our perception from ECD being only center-based. ECD, there are alternative ECD provisioning models. We ourselves have 10,000 children in alternative models. The very same research that tells you how many children have access to ECD provision also tells you that babies do not necessarily benefit best from being in the center. There are alternative models. So it's about perception changes, and some of those alternative models, I can tell you, are a lot cheaper, as effective than the center-based model. So that's the one thing. The second challenge, I think, is that we do have to balance massification with quality. And people have spoken about that, so I'm not going to elaborate. Third thing is we need to acknowledge that early childhood development lends itself to entrepreneurship. Therefore, there is the mushrooming of ECD facilities. We have to be vigilant, Chairperson, otherwise our best efforts will be counterproductive. Then we will not have ECD being a stepping stone for lifelong learning, an investment in the future, if untrained people provide poor quality of ECD provision. So that's the thing. Then, I just listening to all of the provinces, it is very clear that we are not sharing experiences in a way that we could and should. I just want to say to this House that we have had an integrated provincial ECD plan for the last 2 years. We have won, and it was a national award, a gold award for our ECD program. Some of the challenges that people have raised here, how you deal with children with special needs, governance training, all those things are part of our ECD program for which we won the award. And we would be very happy to share this with all of our other provinces. Thank you, Chair. I'm going to leave it there.
National Assembly, something to say here? Okay. You heard the good stories and the bad stories. You see, part of the bigger problem is for instance, in terms of this issue of norms. Let me tell you, at school nutrition, there's a problem that we picked up there. And that in some provinces, for instance, per capita spending is 150. Now, of the 150, 80 cents goes to nutrition, and so on and so on. Now, when we then start talking per capita spending here, very critical. Now, there's an issue which MEC Mpumalanga has raised, which is also critical. Departmental capacity to monitor. It's a very critical matter. There's a matter that is raised of standard salaries. Again, because people might move from one province to other, to the other, because some other provinces are paying better. So how do we deal with those matters? Now, there's a bigger issue of database. How do we handle that? Because we've got to address it comprehensively. Some people must not be left out of the system. You see, part of the bigger problem here is the Constitution is instructive on access. But then if other people are left out in the system, we also would be open for litigation for inaccessibility. And so these issues of
rights are very, very critical. A very critical matter. So National Treasury will come to the National Department. I'm not sure, is the Social Department here nationally? Good. It would be nice to suggest. National Treasury, I will come back for the further discussion, just in terms of taking forward the discussion.
Thank you. I've just prepared a few, a bit of information on the budget and expenditure trends for early childhood development across education and social development. I'm just going to highlight a few points that I think we must all just take into account, especially with the social development sector, that ECD is not a new area of service delivery. It's something that the sector has been doing, so that, in our opinion, that's one of the reasons why when it got included in the EPWP program, it wasn't something new, therefore there was no conditional grant or earmarking attached to it. There were also existing baselines. There was funding for ECD in provincial social development budgets already as well. Basically, that included in EPWP, it had an elevated status, and I think it was a good thing because due to being an elevated status, additional funding was pumped into the sector due to ECD being part of EPWP. A challenge or problem that we face with ECD is that it's difficult to monitor the expenditure or budget against it because it's not a standalone item. It's part of the childcare and protection budget within the social welfare services budget. So, but I'm glad that in your presentation from provinces, most of you indicated what was allocated to ECD specifically. So just to provide some kind of context in terms of spending and growth, the Child Care and Protection Services sub-program in 2004-05 had an outcome of $838 million, and this projected to grow to about $2.5 billion over the to 2010-11. It's quite a significant growth. And also if you look at it in context, Child Care and Protection Service in context of social welfare services or the budget as a whole, it contains bulk of the budget. So a lot of funding is being allocated to Child Care and Protection Services already. In terms of Child Care and Protection, the bulk of that money, approximately 60%, I would say, goes are transferred from rural non-profit institutions. And the rest of it is the bulk of the rest of it is for your operational for compensation. In terms of spending for child care and protection, I picked up a very positive move during the year when the sector does the environment for the movement of money. It seems that they're moving money in more or less the right direction. In very few cases is money being taken away from child care and protection. Approximately, I think in about in 7-8 financial, almost $100 million extra was moved to child care and protection. So in my view, that shows that they are indicating children as a priority. For the current financial year, first quarter spending is also looking quite positive. It's sitting at about 24% until the end of June. It's only Limpopo which is showing some slow spending. It's sitting at 11% only for the third quarter. Eastern Cape, on the other hand, is sitting at 33% spending for the first quarter already. 33% for child care and protection services. Yeah. In terms of the 2008 budget statement, what we did was we did a comparison between the baseline for 2007-08 and for the 8-9 going forward. Approximately $1.1 billion was added to the Child Care and Protection Services budget for 2008 going forward. And the 2008 MCS ECD was identified as a big priority area. So it's easy to make the assumption that $1.1 billion would probably be pumped into ECD, approximately around about that. Then when we looked a bit closer at the economic classification, because we know that most of the ECD money, bulk of it is going to your transfers to your service providers. Therefore, close to $1.1 billion should be sitting on your transfer budget as well. But of the $1.1 billion additional allocation, only $165 million while sitting in your transfer line. And that was a cause of concern for us. So the additional money was basically being used for your departmental operation, which is an indication to us that it's not going to be clear to transfer to your ECD service providers, even though 1.1 billion extra was added to the tax budget. That's the social development. For ECD, unfortunately, in education, the ECD is a program, and CDIR is a sub-program that helps in terms of monitoring. We can allocate, we'll be able to see where the funds are going and how much to allocate to spend it in CDIR. CDIR only really featured in the education budget from 2006-07. I'm not sure if that was just a matter of classification, or whether they've only really been allocating funding to PGAD or in 2006-07, because if I recall, I think the EPWP-ECT really took off in 2000 in that financial year, so maybe they've only really been focusing on training practitioners from that, from next year onwards. But what's the key stuff is how PGAD or is budgeted for. Not all provinces are allocating it against the PGAD or budget, which causes a bit of a problem when we get when we come to consolidation. Similarly as well, the payment of staffers and training are classified differently. Some are paying it against themselves, some are doing it because the services payment, and others are doing it transfer payment. So I think as a sector it would be good if we can report on PGAD or in a coordinated manner. The expenditure trends on ECD. Over the 7 year period, ECD as a program on its own is growing at 40%. PGAD R grows by 38% over the 7 year period. Sorry, that's grade R. PGAD R shows a phenomenal percentage growth of 82%. But the reason for that big growth is not holding
on to the now, that growth. Does it translate to the necessary outcome? That is 82%.
Now that's what I'm getting to. You spend the 82% as from a percentage point, but if you look at the actual numbers, in 2006-07 it's only 21 million, so from a really low base. Therefore, the percentage growth is the bulk of the money in 2011-12 it jumped to 432. So we have to basically monitor going forward to see if the additional money over the medium term is going to result in the proper quality and the number of practitioners trained. And over the seven year period, we need to note that PGAD R only comprises 9% of total ECD expenditure. On your comment and output, I've discussed in terms of what has been reported and the EPWP reporting, in 2007-08, 5,246 practitioners were trained, and the stipends that were paid were between 750 and 1,500, but bulk of the provinces were paying 1,000. For 2008-09, it's projected to grow from 5,246,000 to 18,479. And most of the stipends are projected to be aligned to 1,000 rand. In terms of the report that we've got here, it indicated that all the provinces were paying 1,000 rand for stipends. And these numbers are only the EC practitioners, not the cooks and the gardeners and all the other support staff. There are some provinces are saving on in terms of cooks and gardeners. I don't have. I focus on the practitioners.
You must also get that kind of information. You see, because you want to have all of this system working.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the audits must be done for everything in the system so that it becomes strong and fast. All right, are you done?
Just one or two small ones. I want to just one or two points on the PGAD R. Budgeting for PGAD R seems to be a bit of a concern. Because in if I can use this casting as an example. In 2006-07, the budget was 17 million. In 2007-08, they spent 41 million. But for 2008, now the budget drops again to 17 million. So there seems to be a need or a demand, but why, I don't know why the budgets are not reflecting that. Because even in 2007-08, when it was sitting at 41, it was an over expenditure of quite a bit. The original budget was also quite low. But if I could see it was sitting at 41, I don't understand why going forward the budget is not reflecting that.
Funny, because she was also saying the numbers were growing in the problem.
Yeah.
So clearly there's a problem.
So that's just one of our concerns as the budgeting for ECD, is that some provinces, as I mentioned earlier, are not using the PJR to do the budgeting, is difficult to monitor, and also in terms of the funding that's allocated to PJR, in my opinion, it's still looking quite seriously with the government grants going forward. We should be able to see more output and bigger budgets for PJR.
National Department of Social Development. Give us the views of the problem on the matter. Anything?
Okay.
Yeah.
National
Department of Social Development. Anybody from National Department?
Okay.
Can speak. Yeah.
I'm here, sir. Thank you very much. My name is Maria Mabito. Okay. I think most of the challenges have been mentioned. But at national, I think it is important to mention that the Department of Social Development coordinates the implementation of the integrated plan on ECD, which is a cluster plan. We are the lead department for 0 to 4, and then education takes over for grade R. And I think if we're implementing the integrated plan correctly and having it funded, we find that the quality of care and services provided to children in our ECD centers or sites, and the fact that the models that were mentioned, the home-based models and the community-based models, would have been, you know, more developed, would have been far as the implementation of that is concerned. And I think the main challenge is that, of course, we just started this program, it's almost 3 years old. But there are challenges in terms of human resources, specifically at provincial level for the coordination purposes of this, because social development has to take the lead in terms of monitoring, in terms of ensuring that all the partners are working together at each ECD site. Databases were mentioned. We know that the provinces have got different databases, but we need to consolidate the databases and have a national one, so that when we are called at such meeting, we don't spend the whole night calling provinces and asking them about, you know, their figures. And then the infrastructure is something that is really worrying. It worries National Treasury, it worries the HODs of the provinces, because we don't actually have established as whose responsibility it is to provide infrastructure for ECD sites. Is it local government? Is it social development? Is it public works? So I think that's something that we need to come together and agree on. But at the moment, we are planning an audit of all infrastructure for ECD sites in the country to so that we can determine what are the needs and how we deal with it. I think before we can allocate responsibility, we have to establish what the problem is. And then the salaries, the standardization of salaries for ECD practitioners, I think it's also a worrying factor, because it varies from one, even in one province you find it varies from one district to another, varies from one province to another, and so we need funding. We have, for the second time, requested funding from Treasury, so that we can, you know, provinces can provide proper funding for ECD practitioners. Because
Madam,
yeah.
Well, you know the problem is,
yes.
You're not assisting us.
Yes.
when I imagine you are reacting to these issues that are raised, and I thought it would have been nice if you were saying, from what they are saying, in fact, I'm going to stop you because I'll assist. And the good thing is that everybody, I am into the nature of has raised this issue of norms and standards, and I think you ought to be leading them, working together with them. What the critical issue here is that this is a priority in this financial year. And this is exactly the issue we started with. Clearly then, you are not showing this as a priority. While the MEC Social Development in the Free State was saying your minister accept this, but apparently at this level, your level, nobody seems to be interested in this matter. And so I think we will have to come back to that. Let's hear what education has to say. Education.
Thanks, Chair. In education, ECD starts from birth and goes all the way up to the end of the foundation phase. And for us, the huge focus has been grade R because we want all children to have access by 2010. Nevertheless, we are working on the 0 to 5 year olds, 0 to 4 year olds go into grade R at 5. For us, one of the issues has been the lack of consistency across the provinces. And all
again, this is a problem. Working on your own again, isolation, massive, I must stop you there. It was for you, what this little thing. And the MEC of Education was saying, what is the transition from year to year?
Yeah.
So that as you start talking these things, there must be a clear flow properly here. And I think that is where the problem is. As long as we have this big gap for all of us, we are not going to survive this. Let's come back to the final discussion now. Where to from here?
I thought before you come to the final decision, because I thought National Department of Education and Social Development were going to assist us. Because we are sitting with ECD practitioners who are really certified in the provinces. Social Development is subsidizing food. Department of Education is subsidizing salaries. Sometimes you are put in a predicament where you go to an ECD center, community-based, funded by the Department of Social Development, and you go to a community-based, funded by the Department of Education in the Free State. Unqualified, traditional, education gives 1,800. Underqualified, practitioner, education in the same sentence, 3,000. Qualified practitioner, 5,000. And then you go to social development. Parents are supposed to subsidize the salary. I think that matter needs really to be resolved. The other one is the challenge which the lady from education has just presented. ECD 0 to 9 education, which is not the position. Because education is 5 to 9 years, according to the policy of the government. 0 to 4 is social development. You go to school. You find situation where principals are taking 0 to 4 and they are disadvantaging centers for social development. You go to some of the community centers in the province. We are subsidizing food as social development, and education is not augmenting what we are doing as social development, which is a mess. I was discussing with my colleague education to say we cannot really handle the situation unabated forever. Because we cannot separate children in the same center and say we feed 0 to 4. And then 5 to 6 we are going to live outside. Because immediately we do that, communities are really going to feel highly dissatisfied. I think the two departments are really supposed to give leadership and direction. Because they are causing a lot of problems for us in the provinces. And when it is suitable, they are saying they are coordinating. But as MEC Social Development has not even been able to see national officials going into the provinces as sitting around the table and seeing how best are we resolving problems. The same with education. Because I was education 3 years, they don't come down in the provinces so that we are able to sit down and see how best are we going to resolve the problem. But immediately problems are going to be experienced, they blame the provinces. When we are not even able to sit around the table, we are like a situation where information is telephonically requested because they don't even have the database they are supposed to be directing us to say, a free state, this is the number of children you are supposed to have, so that at least we bring uniformity in all the 9 provinces of South Africa, including in education. But this is not what is happening. National Israelis are more controlling us. And we cannot allow this situation to go unabated forever if we are supposed to resolve some of the problems we are currently experiencing in our provinces. Because at the end of the day, we are the ones who are nearer to people. Even the issue of infrastructure, I become surprised. If an official at national level is saying to you, we don't know who is responsible. Because the constitution is very clear that centers are supposed to be provided by municipalities through the leadership of provincial and local governments. But it is not the same. Children, when we say we are addressing poverty, I think we are really not doing what we are supposed to be doing as government in this particular country. Because we are saying we are addressing poverty, but children are in check, they are sleeping on the ground. Some of them are even getting illnesses from the same crutches we are trying to care and protect them in the country. We need really to handle this matter of ECD seriously. If we are saying children must come first. Because even integration, it is happening in all other provinces. I think also finance is supposed to direct us. So that as you call us here, you say, what are you doing for children in totality? It is not children only in the ECD centers. Children from we are having serious problems in provinces. NGOs are also challenging us to say we are not doing adequately. How can we do adequately when we are giving a minimum amount of a budget to address protecting and care of children in provinces? Even the NGOs, I think some must come that we must be able to sit around the table. Because they are also playing games when it comes to how we are supposed to subsidize them, how are they supposed to deliver services, because they say red tape in the provinces, which is not what is happening, because we need to deliver rates so that we have adequate time to present the position of the free state, challenges we are facing, because when it is suitable chairperson, it is provinces which are not delivering services. In order that we should be able really to start interrogating the budget allocated. Because we find us implementing on the ground, but we find very big structures at national level, which is sometimes we don't really understand. Why should we have so many officials at national level which is coordinating policy, and we are supposed to be implementing the same policies as provinces, but we don't have adequate human resources? I think that is the matter which we must be able to address. And last feature person, I think that this one, because we put it through the window, we must also be able to put it. We are also going to face the same challenges as education and health in relation to education specific dispensation. Because it was never thought thoroughly, it was not thoroughly prepared for. The matter is not yet even finalizing the provinces. Unions and social workers are on our desk as regards occupation specific dispensation. It is only targeting social workers and the social work section and community development, which easily practitioner is not really in the mind of any official as far as OESD is concerned in the province. Even paying a mere balance, it is not there. But we say we must be able to protect children and care for them when practitioners in our own provinces are not really being cared for by us. And they are tired, because some of them are saying they have been there in the service for 20 years without a salary. If parents are not paying, they go until the end of the month without the cent. I think those are some of the policy matters which we must be assisted to be addressed. Or else we are always facing attacks as MECs in the provinces that we are not really caring seriously about people who are delivering services on our behalf, especially in our terms of social development. Because we don't have caregivers directly doing the work for us within the department appointed. That is why the NGOs in the Free State have declared war with the Department of Social Development. If we really can be assisted very soon, they are again going to take us to court. In the manner in which we are giving money as regards protection and care for children in the province, we need really seriously to be assisted.
Madam Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. What has just been said is absolutely vital. I was also wanting to talk about the salaries, the training, and the poor salaries. I have been petitioned by constituents
his daughter has a 3-year qualification from a senior recognized college, and she has never yet received the proper salary. She is being paid as if she is a matriculant. Now, this matter has been bandied between the various departments, between provincial and national, and there's just never any resolution. Now, I think this is something that is, you know, just part of the problem that has been mentioned, and I really would ask us to have a look at this very specifically. I can give you all the details. I can't tell you the amount of correspondence that has gone on over years, but the matter has just never been resolved. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think that the province is have spoken, and I think that from what the MEC from Social Services is in Free State has said, it's mouthful. You invited the national department to come here. You know, to show that they're merely reacting to what is being said there. They've not prepared a document. So that to show that from their own program, what is it that they have? Let alone what is being said here. From their own program, what is it that they have? But they've come here to listen and respond to people. And then each person, and then it is right to say, their responsibility is really to come up with policy and coordinate that. But it is not happening.
But before that, you don't just coordinate policy, you also fund that policy.
For sure. I mean, it becomes unfunded money if you say to people, we expect you to do 1, 2, 3. And it's not funded. But I think that what we're dealing with here is that, listening to various provinces, it's clear that there are disparities both amongst the provinces and within the province. I think our understanding here is different. Those people who live in the urban areas and those who live in the suburbs, within the urban areas, and those who live in the township, it's not the same. But then, what I think that what we're talking about here is how do we ensure that if a child in the township is in an ECD center, and there's another child in the suburbs, there is equalization of those, what's called, of those services. How do we ensure that is happening? And I would have thought that the national department would help us with those kind of things. However, I think that there is work that is being done, but this work, as we say that, I think somebody did say that there's no coherence. That's why that you find that this province is doing this. We're not a federal country. But the military state is supposed to be having same long-term and standard. And I think that this meeting then should assist the national department to say from here, what is it that they're going to do as we move out of this house? So that when we come, this come the next quarter, or 2 quarters down the line, we get a report from them that this is what they have done to try to address the situation. Otherwise, we'll sit here, come next time. It's not the first time. I think the report from the from Trevor is correct to say this is not a new city area. I think that we tried to, even last year, we did speak to them. And if we're doing, for instance, what is this big term? Massification. I think that is good. But you mobilize these people to come to register these centers and to what next? There should be a proper budget for that. That massification. It's not just the massification, because if you do that massification, you're creating expectations that people now, for the first time, they are recognized, they will be remunerated for that. They will be compensated for that. In the past, FSC had proposed that this ECD area must not just fall in the equitable share. Because I think that NEC did indicate that if it is, it falls into the equitable share, then the provinces begin to prioritize. Whether they see ECD as a priority or what, it becomes a problem. You just mentioned the infrastructure of schools, 2.7. We invited the department. They have not explained exactly what happened to that grant, which was not with that unconditional grant for infrastructure. If you, if we, we're doing the same for ECD, that's why you find that the budget is not the same. I think that the better, the way forward should be to do to make it a conditional grant, so that we can, it can be monitored properly, because people were given a conditional grant to do this. And also, as you indicated, not only for, yeah, the conditional grant would include issues of infrastructure that people feel that they are a great area. I think they should be clarified, Shepherdson. The what I don't understand, I hear National Federal says now, they have been elevated to EPWP. I'm not sure that if that is elevation, but I don't understand, Shepherdson, what exactly that means. But whatever it means, but I think that there should be the president this year at the State of the Nation address isolated this ECT as one of your priority areas, and therefore you can't accommodate it within EPWP. I think that EPWP has got its own, what you call it, objectives to do certain things. So it means that if then, as it was, as it is shown as one of the purposes of education, then it must be prioritized, and be and the budget must be made must also prioritize, must be seen to be prioritizing the area. Just the last thing is I was talking about the infrastructure. You know, you did raise the question of infrastructure. We had reports earlier in the year, I think from, I remember the first day we came and there were issues that they were reporting to us. They have not come back with those reports to say so. How are these structures now being improved? And say, we can't, because I don't know. Yesterday we were discussing about the issue of MTEF. That MTEF was designed for certain, to ensure certain, so that everyone is certain, there's proper planning. Now, come the financial year, it's as these people, they just receive these funds unprepared, not knowing what to do with these funds, and then from there they start planning. But it should not be like that. I think that when budget is passed on the for April, is there for implementation. It means that we should be able to start running with programs. But it is not the case. And I would hope that those people who are supposed to be monitoring and doing coordination are supposed to be doing, are supposed to be ensuring that come the 1st of April, we're going to run with the program. But we hear that they don't go to provinces. Perhaps they sit in their offices and ask for reports. If you invite them, they want the province to tell them over the phone what is happening. I think that the next report that they should be that we should be hearing from them is that what is it that they have done. They must also tell us about their own experiences within the province. What is it that they are going to do about the province? The constitution is very clear in terms of what is it that should be done by both provinces and by national in terms of its own responsibility towards the provinces and provinces with local government and both the national and province towards local government. So we should not be talking here as if there are people who are innocent. No one is innocent. The Minister of Finance at the beginning of the year said we are all together in this. If we are thinking, we should think together. We can't say other people, no, I'm not responsible if your baby is there at the province. If the province are failing, it's because national it is failing the province. So, Chairperson, I think that maybe I'm sure the national department at the next quarter will have a different report. Thank you.
You know, there are many people agitated. I want to wrap up and give some lie. But some ladies say no. The lady behind MEC Social Development in 2 minutes, madam. And I'm told there's an ECD specialist from the National Department also should gonna have 2 minutes. Madam, you've got your 2 minutes. I'm gonna roll your heart if you are not assisting us.
Okay, but through the education side.
You are not here. Oh, well, you have.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you mean. You have different challenges from the representation.
Alright. So actually, we don't have such different challenges. We partnership with our social development.
Challenges, don't speak. It's fine.
Okay.
Good.
You don't want to hear your good news.
Yeah. Tell us the good news then.
No, sure. We are registering our children because of the site. We are registering them on CMIS so that every child will be accounted for in every learning area, every learning site.
Don't stick to that then. We will come back to that and then switch off. Let me get the other educated lady that side. I hope she's going to assist us.
Thank you very much. But I just want to highlight that I'm not agitated. I just want to share information with the whole team. It's true we're having challenges as we render ECD, the National Department of Social Development.
What I'm going to do. Take a seat. The process I'm going to align is going to address the issues you're just about to address. Take a seat and don't speak now. Don't worry about that. We will assist all the national departments and all the provincial. You know, this is why we had called this meeting. Because we do want to ensure that this will succeed. So we've got to, what we will do here is to outline a process that says all national departments from today must go and do these things. By the way, you won't be doing these things in isolation. Because you will be talking to these same provinces. And so clearly, the issues we are going to address now are the issues I want you to address in that meeting. Okay. Mr. Mkitlan and then Madam, I'm closing for.
No, I had actually abdicated my.
Application is allowed. Now, Chairperson, please be patient with me. As much as we would want to lobby your committee to assist us to get funds from the FFC and Treasurer, there are certain issues that we really need to clarify as colleagues, and I would not want you to have an impression that we have not been doing work. We have been given an opportunity by the Minister at the level of MINMEC to talk about issues that relate to OLD. And I think we must take full responsibility as MECs in this meeting that
at that level, we did not include the letters that we're bringing to you. So I don't want you to have an impression, together with your committee, that the minister has denied us the right to talk about streamlining and putting part of other specialists or other practitioners within the OSD dispensation. I think it was explained very thoroughly that we are starting with those that have been there, which are social workers, but as time goes on, there will be an intake of the rest of the social sector and other practitioners. And that's one element that I need to clarify. But we are already lobbying funds on behalf of all of us. We are not saying that the department is not doing enough. I think that there has been an explanation on that side. But the second issue that I'm going to suggest that Treasury does is that they must, I don't know what they call that, is it a cost center? They must establish a cost center which can monitor very clearly how much goes into ECD, so that they don't say that it's ambiguous, we can't find, and analysis are not clear, and so on. Develop a format that can be circulated so that all of us report on the same issues and so on. It will also give an opportunity to our department nationally to come and streamline, because all of us are doing something. But we need to streamline and somehow have a uniform approach to a certain extent without taking other provinces, well, Gauteng, KZN, with a lot of money and so on. But streamlining a little bit will be allowed. Education and social development, in the cluster meetings that we continue to have, we'll have to deal with matters of TEF. We'll have to deal with matters of TEF. They play themselves in here. I thought that is a matter that is only affecting the province. And I think you'll agree with me, I did not report on the Northwest. I was speaking from a political point of view earlier. So people would read the Northwest report. I don't want to get into, I would not want to be agitated to try and bottle and prove a point and so on. But streamlined matters that lead to the TEF issue, there's no ambiguity. Social development must be the lead department in relation to matters of ECD until at the point where we hand over children to the classroom. And where I sit, Great R was designed as a direct response to the absence of an early childhood development strategy. Otherwise, it would not have been there. The centers would cater from 0 to 6 years, and then the children would be assessed by practitioners and be ready to go to school. Now, there was an absence of this at a multitude and at a massive level. We then said, as a measure, in the meantime, let's create Great R. We must not leave that. And it's not a it shouldn't be made a permanent feature. Somehow we'll have to say, at what point do we break even, and what do we have to do about those things? The minister has undertook, again, a matter that I need to clarify this meeting. Maybe in the next quarter, or the third quarter, the fourth quarter, the minister has undertook, appointed KPMG, who are doing matters of internal disparities, redesigning and re-engineering of departments in provinces. For instance, the minister would say all sub-directorates must be at a director level and so on. Provinces will say, you are a small department, you don't deserve to have chief directors and directors. Now, all of us are toggling between what Treasury gives us at the level of the province and what national pronounces. But the minister then said, we agree that let's do an audit. Upon the audit, we'll then say, if social development has to respond to its social responsibilities, this is how the department must look like. So that there's no ambiguity about me having a chief director, you having a deputy director, and the people are expected to do the same responsibilities in the difference. So those matters of internal re-engineering are currently underway, and they will be finalized, and I'm sure that we'll be able to benefit from them. My last point of emphasis, infrastructure funding must be made available. It must not be a matter that we come and talk about again. Whether you do it as a conditional grant, or whether you do it as a reinvestment fund,
we should go through the equitable shepherd dream first. Something will have to happen if we were to change the situation and create massive access for our people to be able to benefit from the money. I don't know whether this committee is capacitated enough to go and engage the lottery funding, because that's where we can also get some of the funds for our infrastructure development. I know that most of your school infrastructure, they do source from the lottery funding. I don't know whether you can call them and say they must include us, who takes the decision on those issues and so on. So it's an awakening, ma'am. You're not making social development a favor. It has always been there, but not being taken care of. Now Treasury is awakening, and our own government is realizing that we've made a mistake in the last 15 years of not taking serious matters that relate to social infrastructure and social development. Thank you very much.
Okay. Then let them say the following. Can we talk to the National Department of Social Development this policy gap issue to resolve? It's a matter of urgency. But then secondly, can we then ask the following national departments to meet urgently? Treasury, Education, Social Development, and even DPLG. You know, there's this thing of the municipalities, and therefore MIG, how do we then structure? I'm raising this because there's this ongoing review of the equitable share, et cetera, et cetera. And so how do we start saying we align and realign these monies? And so these departments must then meet and start talking about this infrastructure requirement. And so if we then talk about these, package them correctly, is this ECD going to be at MIG? Is it going to be at IGP? Where is it going to be located? We've got to find a way of locating it. That's broadly the issue. That's broadly the issue. Ensure that we're clear then. And then there are issues of non-registered ECDs. For me, they create a bigger challenge. And so how do we deal with them? You know, one of the things that has been picked up in terms of the school nutrition seems to be defeating objectives. But it looks like it's about job creation for providers. But then, does not do what it has to do in the context of this thing called school nutrition. As we talk, therefore, issues of nutrition for these toddlers, we should not repeat the same problem. But how do we then balance job creation and quality nutrition for the toddler? There's a very critical area that has been raised, this transformation area. How do we deal with that issue? Again, how do we then deal with the cultural issues in the context of accessibility? It's a matter that we've got to deal with. Can we also work out a standard of what is it that we need to put in place as this learner support material for the kids, toys, all of these things, etc., etc., etc. Something that we must be able to benchmark properly so that if provinces are not performing, the benchmark must be on the basis of all these norms and standards and uniform standards. Critical issue of special needs and standards. Yesterday on TV I saw a terrible teacher. An old man from Pakistan who had decided to hide his kids for more than 20 years because he was embarrassed by these kids. Apparently had built something just under his own house to keep these kids under just there. It's about, therefore, this issue of special needs. How do we handle but also how do we as a government raise sharply the issues of special needs? You know, it's kind of ad hoc. Sometimes people talk about it, practically they do nothing about it. You know, we can't overemphasize the capacity of the departments left, but secondly of the practitioners themselves to be able to produce this good quality child who gets into the system as a rounded child already, ready to be able to be absorbed into grade R. It's a critical matter that we've got to deal with. And the role of communities is very critical. How do we ensure that communities participate in a manner that really ensures that we really ensure that these toddlers again get what they deserve. Now, National Treasury says it has been growing. For us, this must translate properly. And so that discussion must also be a discussion factored into in these discussions by the national departments, plus provinces. We do want to add that these discussions must not be in isolation of the provinces, because the first-hand experiences are with the provinces. And so, you know, you've got provinces that have rural areas and therefore traditional leaders. If you're gonna build a center in an area that is under a traditional leader, Limpopo is not raising this. It's a big challenge there. Because almost all the land in some parts of Limpopo are owned, land owned by the traditional leadership. How do you deal with those things? Let me see, Mpumalanga did not raise this as a challenge, but how do you deal with this? So clearly we've got to find a way of ensuring that this ECDC gets its fair share precisely because it is a priority. And because it is a government priority, it must be treated as such. Can I then thank everybody for this discussion and your useful input? We just decided today to say, let's not really talk this accountability thing, because we think there are broader issues that we think are hampering development in terms of this matter. And so we again apologize for the inconvenience. We have prepared good work in terms of accountability issues. We are going to be looking at these reports, but we needed to have this kind of discussion today just to see, are we going in the right direction? So that people must not start pointing fingers and saying that provinces, because most of the time we are bashing these provinces for underspending for this and that and that. Mm-hmm. But we just decided to say, let's look at this thing holistically, so that all of us then must be. This discussion also is coming up because in the next month we are looking at adjustments. If something is forthcoming, it could be catered for in the adjustment period immediately. We're talking this infrastructure thing. What is it that we could be raising in terms of plans, etc., etc., so that we're able to ensure that this funding are flowing as speedily as possible. Thank you very much, MECs, HODs, and everyone. Meeting our plans.